that was part of the first complex, joined to its fellow building by the covered walkway. She knew that she was plainly visible, but there was nothing she could do about it. If it left her open to fire, the only thing she could do was take evasive action, which was exactly what happened. The shots came from the rear of the building and whistled about her head and body. She leaned low over her mount and pulled the animal around so that it was heading straight for the back of the building, but head on, so it presented a narrower target. She had her blaster in her hand, and while she gripped the horse's mane tightly in one hand, she took aim at the empty window in the back of the building. Empty except for the occasional explosion and flash of light in the blackness as a blaster was fired in her direction. She was dimly aware of the discharge of Vox Lama in the distance, a different quality of sound to the other blasters that were being fired in profusion, and somehow this spurred her on, reminding her that it was more than just her against whoever these saboteurs were. Guiding the horse at a slight angle so that she could get a clear shot, she fired three times at the window. The first shot cannoned off the outside brickwork. The second shot went through and hit someone as she heard a scream of pain. The third shot was the most deadly, as she heard it ricochet off the metal of the refinery pipes. A fraction of a second later, she was thrown from her mount as the night erupted into day. The ricochet had hit the Plasex that the saboteur was planting and had ignited it. The refinery building was ripped apart by the explosion, the wall nearest Christie being blown out and scattering debris across the immediate area. She was thankful that her horse had thrown her, for the animal acted as a shield, taking hits from several chunks of brickwork that would otherwise have chilled her. The explosion startled Mildred, but not as much as it startled the two saboteurs who were working inside the building just in front of her. Scared and thinking only of getting the hell out, the two men rushed from the doorway of the building, presenting Mildred with the easiest of moving targets. She sighted with her Checkmate ZKR, the very model of target pistol she had used in competition. She very rarely missed, and never at such a range as this. The first shot caught her target between the eyes. Before he had even begun to fall, she had sighted and fired on the second man, who took his bullet in the chest, shattering his breastbone and stopping his heart. He hit the ground a fraction of a second after his companion, and Mildred waited a few seconds for anyone else to emerge from the building before leaving her cover to check it out. She then moved over to join Doc, who had run to Christie's aid when the explosion sounded. Fortunately, her horse had taken the brunt of the blast, and the woman had only a few contusions to show for her part in the explosion. And so it was over. The saboteurs were routed, and only one of the attempts to destroy parts of the well and refinery had succeeded, albeit by accident. But still, it gave no clue as to who was behind this, or why. It took several hours for Ryan and his people to gather their surviving horses and the chilled corpses of the saboteurs before they were ready to travel back to the sec camp. By that time, it was daylight, and as the procession made its way across the empty desert between the camp and the works complex, it encountered the party of workers tramping across the dusty earth to the well and refinery. The sight of the companions, Mildred and Dean on foot, Doc and JB leading horses loaded with corpses, and Jack, Ryan, and Christie still on horseback, caused the line, and the sec men guarding them, to come to a straggling halt. Ryan's chest had been bandaged by Mildred, and although the bullet wound had been no more than a scratch, now that he was tired and the adrenaline had worn off, it felt sore and stiff beneath his arm. So Ryan wasn't in the best of moods when one of the sec guards approached him.
Heard a commotion last night.
Give that boy a medal for understatement.
Reckon you could hear that all the way back to Salvation. Didn't get any backup, though.
My all had us all out at the camp. All these fuckers thought each other was responsible and damn near tried to chill each other. If we get a decent day's work out of them, it'll be a miracle.
Ryan nodded.
Well, let's see if we can get a reaction from them now.
He moved his horse toward the crowd and beckoned forth the workers.
Gather around!
As they started to move, he gestured for Doc and JB to unload the corpses from the backs of the horses. Dean and Mildred stepped forward to assist, and soon the chilled corpses of the six saboteurs, there being nothing left of two after the explosions, were laid out on the ground. Two of them were mangled and mutilated beyond any real recognition, but the others were still recognizable.
Any of you know these?
He waited for the buzz of conversation to subside and some suggestions to come, but there were none.
You sure you don't know them?
There was a general silence. The companions exchanged glances. They would talk of this later, but from the looks they swapped, they were all sure that they agreed on one thing. The workers weren't hiding anything here. At the very least, they would have expected them to try to blame men from another vill, but there was no such attempt. It was looking more and more likely that JB's theory of an outside sabotage mission was correct.
Okay, load them up.
Doc, JB, Mildred, and Dean lifted the corpses back onto the horses, and they were ready to roll.
Oh, by the way, there's something back at Sec Camp that Mile wants you to see.
What?
The Sec man grimaced uncomfortably.
I'd rather not say.
He made a motion toward the still-stunned workers.
But I think you'll find it a hell of a lot more interesting than I can let on.
With this cryptic remark, the Sec man returned to his duty, and the procession of workers started again for the well and refinery, leaving Ryan and his companions to ponder what they were about to find. When they reached the Sec camp, they were greeted by Mile and McVee, who were both looking more solemn than any of the companions had seen in the short time that they had known them. The companions rode and led their horses into the compound and dumped the corpses on the ground.
Take a look. Recognize any of them?
Both men looked over the corpses.
None of them look familiar to me, but then again, I doubt if their own old ladies would recognize these two.
He indicated the mangled corpses.
I didn't think you would. They've been using wags, and good ones, to get to and from the well in the refinery. I don't reckon they came from the camp.
You could be right about that. But for right now, you need to come with me. Leave the chill there.
Mayo turned and led the companions to one of the sleeping tents near the mess building.
What's going on? That's sure as hell what we'd like to know.
They walked the rest of the way in silence, and when they reached the tent, Mayo drew the tent flap to one side.
He's starting to smell, so be careful.
Bewildered, the companions followed the Sec Chief into the tent.
Dark night. What happened to him?
For on the ground, laid out in death, was Crow. He was barely recognizable apart from his giant frame and teak-like skin, for he had been beaten to death. There were no stab wounds or bullet holes on his body, but his flesh was a puffy mass of contusions and welts. His skull was misshapen where it had been fractured, his cheekbones beaten out of shape, and his jaw at an unnatural angle where it had been dislocated. His clothes were ripped and torn, covered in blood, and it looked as though he had been dragged behind a wag for some distance, as ragged strips of flesh had been torn from his arms and legs.
The patrol out on the blacktop found him at first light. Figure he's already been dead for some time. Probably happened sometime during the night. Another thing, we found a shitload of Plazex on him, a timing device and a heavy-duty hand blaster. A Colt Python like yours, Jack.
That's weird. I never saw him with a blaster before.
Neither did I. That doesn't mean that he wouldn't have carried one when he was on a mission.
The Sec Chief stumbled on that last phrase, as though he couldn't quite believe it himself. Ryan jerked a thumb behind him to indicate the chilled saboteurs who were lying in the morning sun.
So you think he was with them?
Mile shrugged.
With all that stuff on the blacktop that leads to the well and refinery? What am I supposed to think?
That's exactly what you are supposed to think, my dear boy. A most carefully laid trail, but not without one glaring error.
Mile looked at Doc with a puzzled expression.
Huh?
So simple that it is obvious. If he was one of the saboteurs out there, then how, pray tell, did he end up being chilled on the road before they actually reached the well and refinery?
Suppose it happened on the way back, a falling out of some kind, because it all went wrong.
We chilled them all. Their wags are still at the site. If they chilled Crow, then it was on the way.
And someone wanted him to look like a guilty man.
Well, you'll have a chance to talk to the big man about it. I radioed Baron Silas straight away. And he's coming out here.
Baron Silas arrived about an hour later, during which time Ryan and his people had the chance to clean up and eat, if not to get any sleep. The Baron drove into the camp in his large old truck wag, with the shotgun Sec rider, and strode straight across to where the bodies of the saboteurs were still lying, rotting in the sun. He nodded to himself, then turned to Mayall, who had joined him. The Sec Chief showed the Baron where the corpse of Crow had been stashed, and when the two men emerged, they were greeted by the companions, who had left the mess building to meet the Baron.
Well, well, well. You caught some of them, but still managed to blow some of the compound.
Nothing compared to what could have been done. Besides, you know we couldn't cover all the vulnerable points without extra cover.
You mean to say you didn't mount a full guard?
Ryan examined the man closely with his...